Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'll be hosting VFN Radio today, filling in for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, doing good.
Just good?
I'm doing excellent.
How was your Labor Day? I want to give a couple shout-outs this morning. Brett and Sharon in Colorado. Oh, I was thinking about you guys Sunday.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I'm so excited about what's going on out there, huh?
Oh, my goodness. Brett sent me this picture of the mountains. I'm like, come on. He's just going to rub it in or what?
I know. My goodness. All right, Colorado. Hopefully there's a skiing trip coming up. I mean, hopefully there's some ministry around skiing.
I know,
or something,
right?
You know? Let me know, Brett. Let me know. Pastor Barbara out in Spring. Oh, my goodness. I love your post, girl. Keep it up. You're so encouraging. And Peter. I got to give a shout out to Peter. Peter.
Oh, my goodness.
I love that shirt idea, bro.
Oh, I love it.
I love that shirt idea.
Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, my goodness.
That's cool.
I'm officially putting in my order today, okay? Well, I'm just so excited to be with you on the radio this morning, and I know we have so much to cover today, and we want to get to, but Pat, I got to tell you, we just had Labor Day.
Yes.
And major holiday. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk a little bit about Labor Day, but I went to get some tires done. I had to get some tires on the vehicle. So
really?
I show up to the, I need some tires, got to get rolling.
Yeah.
And so when I showed up, I saw this interesting sign. And I was, concerned a little bit about what these tires were going to cost me these days, Mm-hmm. But I went in there and I saw this sign that was hanging up, and I thought this was just amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a little letter. I want to read you this letter and see what you think.
Okay.
He says, "Dear sir, we're writing this letter to you today because we want to help you get your money out of your Model T, Ford Model T.
Okay.
It's still as good a car as it was the day the new Model A Ford was announced. And there's no need to sacrifice it. Now, the Model T Ford is still used by more people than any other automobile. 8 million are in active service right now." This was an old dated letter that they had displayed there.
That's got to be pretty old, a Model T.
Yeah, think about it. Ford, Henry Ford, okay?
Yeah.
8 million are in active service right now, and many of them are driven 1, 2, 3, and 5 years, and even longer. Bring your car to us and let us look it over. You'll be surprised to see how little cost it'll be to have it in tip-top shape.
Mm-hmm.
A new fender, for instance, get this, Pat, costs $3.50 to $5 each.
Are you okay? Serious?
With a labor charge of $1 to $2.50. When was the last time you ever labor charged $2?
$2.50.
Tuning up the motor, replacing the commutator.
Commutator.
I have no idea what that is. Commutator case. All right.
All right.
Brush and vibrator points cost only $1 with a small charge for material. I wonder what material costs. Just like your material costs. I wonder what they are.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. When you had a, okay, I'm going to leave that alone.
Yeah.
And then brake shoes can be installed and emergency brakes equalized for a labor charge of only $1.25. I thought, wow, look at those prices. Now, surely when I got my price ticket, it wasn't nowhere near the sign that I saw. But
so your tires didn't cost $2.50?
No, not $2.50. My goodness. I said, wow, what a beautiful sign to have up. Times have changed, haven't they?
Oh my goodness.
We just celebrated Labor Day. And oh my goodness, this is an awesome holiday that's been around for quite a while, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
It's just basically a time where we can honor and celebrate the American workers.
Right.
There was a day that the American worker was just totally neglected. I mean, had children working in factories. There were no kind of labor laws. I mean, because of this, I mean, you actually have a five-day work week. You know, you have a reasonable 8 hours expectation. You know, breaks. Breaks weren't always, you know, that 15-minute break, you know. I think it's if you work 8 hours, you get two. You're entitled to 2 15-minute breaks.
Is it two?
That's what I hear. That's what I think. two 15-minute breaks.
Right.
And an 8-hour lunch, you know.
An 1-hour lunch? Wow. I'm up for that.
Not an 8-hour. Oh, one hour lunch. So, but I thought that was so cool that you know, we've come a long way. Mm-hmm. And they used to celebrate these with huge parades. I haven't heard too many Labor Day parades. Maybe I'm just not aware of them, but they used to have a lot of just huge parades. And this was going around, started in New York. Mm-hmm. It's been around for a while. But, you know, while we're celebrating Labor Day just yesterday, you know, we just want to continue to pray for the 23 million Americans right now that are out of work, that are out of labor, and just believe that God's just going to just bless and that they're going to be able to get back to work. They're either, you know, unemployed or underemployed, but we definitely want to keep them in our prayers. But, you know, Pat, right. With Labor Day, you know, that begins a whole transitions, you know, a lot of transitions in the air, if you know what I mean.
Right.
You know, summer's officially over. You know, so people like to celebrate it and go to the beach and have their picnics and barbecues and do the things that they do, right? And relax. Mm-hmm. I also understand it's the beginning of football season. Is that right?
That's what I hear.
Yeah. Maybe. Some college games, I think, just got kicked off and started. So very interesting. But what I want to talk about, you know, is a lot of transitions. Mm-hmm. And with Labor Day, you notice that, you know, there's kids that are going back to school.
Yes.
You know, probably all the kids have transitioned back to school.
Yeah.
Summer is actually, you know, officially, quote unquote, over. Mm-hmm. And so we're now transitioning to the fall. Some people are transitioning from being employed to not being employed.
Right.
Some folks who are unemployed are transitioning, going back to work. You know, and just look at the environment. I mean, just the season itself is changing. There's so much transition in the air, and we got to take note about it. We got to just be aware. Sometimes some people are even transitioning in their finances. And the thing about transitions is that they're a part of life.
Right.
They just happen. Mm-hmm. They're a part of life, and we're always transitioning from one thing to another or from one place to another.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, it's easy. Some transitions are easy and some are not. You know, some things are just kind of, okay, it's just the next thing, you know.
Right.
Then there's some other transitions that you're like, ugh, kind of stuck here. I'm trying to move, but it's not happening. I know the current is moving, but it's not happening. But transitions are always going to be hard for those who refuse to accept what they're transitioning to.
That's right.
I'm telling you, I mean, look around. I mean, look at the season that we're in. You know, there are so many, I didn't even list them up. There's so many transitions that people are facing today. Mm-hmm. You know, think about the Israelites. You know, they were in transition when they were leaving Egypt.
That's right.
You know, they were leaving where they were, right? Egypt in captivity, and they were going to a place of, you know, a land flowing with milk and honey, right? Mm-hmm. And freedom and liberty. But then there was this transitional period of time. You know what I'm saying? There was this desert experience of wanderings in the desert. And you think about, wow, what was that like?
Right.
You know? And that's just the whole nature of transition. You know, is that you're leaving what's behind, but you're not quite there to what will be. Mm-hmm. And the temptation is that when you're somewhere in the middle, you're in the middle of that transition, you know, you start to feel uncomfortable maybe. You're concerned about the unknown, what's going to happen. It's not what it used to be, and I don't know what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And many times people want to look back.
Yeah.
They want to look back.
Yeah.
You know, I think about the Israelites who were like, man, take us back. You know what I mean? My feet hurt. You know what
exactly.
I'm these sandals here, I got some corns. I mean, get me out of here, you know? And you think about it, they literally wanted to go back and go back into captivity. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. So you're so fearful of what's going to happen next that these people, the Israelites, they were willing to even entertain going back to captivity. Now think about it. God brought them through a major transition. When God's bringing you through a major transition, you need to take special note. You need to write that in your abiding journal. You need to recognize that God is doing something. I mean, you would think that the parting of the Red Sea, some plagues, some, you know, all kinds of stuff that happened, that that would get your attention. But they were in the midst of their transition, and they forgot what God was beginning to do. He was bringing them to a place.
Right.
And it's just that God's bringing a lot of people to a lot of places, and we just got to perceive and understand the times in which we live in. And you can't hold on to what used to be while you're transitioning to what will be.
Right.
It's so good. You can't hold on to what used to be while you're transitioning to what will be. You got to embrace the fact.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in transition.
Yeah.
I was talking to my sons about this because, you know, they're going back to school. I got another son going to a different school. And I said, hey, there's a lot of transitions going on. And if your family's going through transition, I encourage you, speak to your family. Encourage everyone, because you know what? Not everyone understands transition, especially children. They don't understand that things are happening, things are changing, and they get lost in the midst of it. And they can sense and they can feel that something's changing, but they don't have a grid for it. And you want to present a grid for people to help them to understand that you're not crazy, you know, but things are indeed changing. And so I was talking to them, and I don't know if you remember this. Anyone who's listening today, anybody, BFN Radio listeners today who are listening and you have children, small children, or maybe you're a grandparent, you may be familiar with the show, you know, the movie Toy Story. You know, Pat, I know you are. I know this is one of your favorites.
Oh, yeah. All time.
And so I said, you know, kids, it's called almost like Woody. Woody's this character in Toy Story, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who he was Andy's favorite, the little boy in the movie's favorite little toy. But all of a sudden, Andy got a brand new toy. It was Buzz Lightyear, you know? And all of a sudden, there was a transition occurring because Woody was no longer the main dude. I want you to hear something, because there's one scene where you might be hearing he said strange things are happening. He's sitting on this bed. You got to remember this. He's sitting on this bed, and they have Woody flashback. He's going back. He had posters of Woody up. He's reminiscing of all the times they were playing. And he's like, what's going on?
I'm
no longer the man. Buzz Lightyear's taking over. You know what I'm saying? This is, if that's you today and you're like, oh my goodness, this is transitioning. This is not what it used to be. You know what Woody found out? Hey man, transition's not all that bad. Him and Buzz wind up becoming good friends, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They moved on. But he was perplexed. You know, he was perplexed. He had an issue going on.
It
was strange. What was that?
To say the least, right?
Yeah, he had some strange things were happening. And so people are either, this is how what happens with transition, you know, people can either find themselves wanting to hold on to what used to be. We talked about that. The other thing is that some people have very little discernment into what is happening. They end up where they need to be by hard shifts. You know, when I was learning to drive a stick automobile, stick shift manual transition, you know, let's just say that the car did a lot of bucking, you know what I'm saying? You know, you're just learning to shift that gear.
Right.
It should be a nice smooth transition with the clutch and the gas pedal at the same time. You should transition smoothly from first to second to third.
Right,
you know,
right.
But when you're learning, you know, it's like, boom, the car was bucking all over the place.
Yeah.
And sometimes people, if you don't have a perception of what's going on, you have the perception of the season that we're in, you're going to make some major hard transitions. You're just going to kind of end up at a certain place, and it's like, what was that? I just landed in this transition. But the third type of person is able to understand and discern that transition is in the air. They're abiding with God. Let me tell you something. If you're abiding with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're abiding every day, God will begin to speak to you on a daily basis. He'll begin to speak to you and tell you that things are shifting. Things are changing in your life, in your ministry, in your family, in your workplace. You'll know the sign of the times. You'll know what's happening in America, in the nation, in the world. Mm-hmm. And write it down. Write it down. And you can begin to prepare for the transition. You can prepare mentally. You know what I'm saying? Okay, get your mind right. You know what I'm saying?
It's right.
Like, okay, it's coming. It's coming. Get your mind right. Right? Mentally, you can prepare spiritually, physically, financially. Mm-hmm. But you can begin to make preparation for what is about to happen. Listen, America's in transition.
That's right.
In 60 days. Mm-hmm. In 60 days, we're about to going to elect a president of the United States. We're either going to elect the current president, President Barack Obama, or we're going to elect Mitt Romney to be, you know, the nation's leader.
That's right.
We're in a transition. It's interesting that once we do elect that the president, right, that from November to January, when the elected president assumes his office, it's a transitional period of time. The old, you know, or the former president or, whoever held that office, you know, is either getting ready to exit, or if he's there, you know, he's going to get ready, you know, to assume it again. But there's that transitional period of time, especially when there's a new president elected, that we can, they can transfer over power, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, that's 60 days. That president's only getting ready to set his agenda for the next 100 days. And it's amazing how even the economies and everything in the world, I mean, all the world right now is just kind of sitting and waiting and seeing what's going to happen in America. And in the transition that's occurring, I want to encourage you that no matter what happens, no matter what transition you are going through today, you can hold on to the one who never changes. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord and I change not. God doesn't change. He remains the same. You continue to abide. You continue to stay in God's word. You continue to hear his voice. Let me tell you something. God will bring you through any transition. Mm-hmm. He'll bring you through any way. He'll bring you through everything that we need to go through, and we'll be able to make it. We'll be able to sustain ourselves in everything's going to be. Get ready. Get ready, because change and transition
is on the way.
Is upon us. I mean, it is upon us. And you don't want to do a hard shift. You don't want to be bucking into transition and find out that you just got slammed into one and have to adjust once you're in. Mm-hmm. And you sure don't want to be in the bed like Woody thinking, you know, moping, oh, my goodness, strange things are happening. But you want to be one that perceives and discerns the seasons and the times that are upon us.
That's right.
And you want to prepare physically, you want to prepare spiritually, mentally, financially, and you want to be ready to embrace and hear what the Lord is doing in the season in your life and the season in this nation. And I'm telling you, a major reason people can't move forward is because they're trying to hold on to what used to be. Let me tell you something. Things are going to change. They're going to change. And you can't move forward holding on to what used to be. You'll never get what will be. Abide, stay close to the ones who will be able to pull you through.
That's right.
Powerful, man. Transition, transition is upon us.
Very good.
Well, you know, Pat, the president, Barack Obama, just spoke at Fort Bliss just a few days ago. And this was pretty awesome because he was taking time to honor our troops. You know, I believe it was the 2-year anniversary of the end of the combat missions in Iraq.
Right.
And so he spoke at Fort Bliss because that was a major base where there was a lot of, I believe that base was involved in every single aspect of the war. I mean, every single aspect. Yeah. So he went and spoke there before, but he came back and they were so fired up. I mean, he did a really nice job encouraging them. I want you to listen to a little something here because it's just pretty.
2 years ago, I was here to mark a historic moment in the life of our nation and our military, the end of major combat operations in Iraq. It was a chance for me to say on behalf of the American people, to you and all who served there, welcome home and congratulations on a job well done. In every major phase of that war, you were there, the Iron Soldiers. Because of your speed and strength, American troops toppled a dictator in less than a month. Because of your commitment, you stayed on extended tours and went back tour after tour, year after year. Because of your determination to succeed, you turned back an insurgency. You stood firm against sectarian strife. You helped pull Iraq back from the abyss, and you trained Iraqis to take the lead. That was the progress you made possible with your service and your courage.
It's so awesome when you hear the president speaking, you know, to these soldiers. They're all gathered there. They're all, you know, surrounded. And he's giving them a shout out. He's calling them out. And he, you know, each group, they're so proud, you know, to defend our nation. I mean, it's so amazing. You know, even in my own neighborhood, they have signs for soldiers that have come back home. And I just thought, you know, this is so good. We need to honor our soldiers. We need to remember the sacrifice, remember that their deployment. And so good that the president was doing this. Listen up. Okay, we'll get this right here ready for you. Listen up.
When I was here 2 years ago, I told you something else, though. That we had more work to do, including taking the fight to Al-Qaeda. And there, too, I meant what I said. With allies and partners, we've taken out more top Al-Qaeda terrorists thanks to the courage of our forces. Al-Qaeda is on the road to defeat, and bin Laden will never again threaten the United States of America. Two years ago, I also told you that we'd keep up the...
How awesome is that?
Man, that's
bin
good.
Laden will no longer be a terror threat to America. So you hear this and you're like, wow, this is cool. These are soldiers. And I know that we have soldiers among us and friends, family members and neighbors.
All right.
But to think of their sacrifice and their victory and willing to just do all that they do, you're thinking, man, God, we live in a blessed nation.
That's right.
Let me tell you, we live in a blessed nation.
That's good.
Let's listen to more of this.
Fight in Afghanistan. I know that some of you recently got back. On behalf of a grateful nation, welcome home. Some of your buddies are in Afghanistan right now. And our thoughts and prayers are with all the troops from Bliss deployed around the world, including Afghanistan, the War Eagles, and the Highlanders. And I know that some of you will be deploying later this year.
Did you hear that? I know some of you getting ready for this year. I mean, these guys are pumped.
That's something.
Where others would, you know, like, I ain't going over there.
Yeah.
I thought about going to the military once.
Did you?
Once.
How long did that last?
Well, you know, that was my high school plan. That was my high school plan. And then I went to visit my uncle, who had a very distinguished career in the United States Air Force. And, He done did well, man. I he's a great guy. Mm-hmm. But I went down there to visit him, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this. You know,
right.
I had these fantasies of you know what I'm saying? I'm going to be like the elite SEAL. I'm going to be, Green Beret. Those things went away quick. They faded quickly. You know what I mean? I'm like, But, you know, every so often he would keep trying to encourage
Imagine
me.
Imagine you in boot camp.
Oh my God! Listen, I can't. But you can't.
No.
Oh my goodness. But you know, it's cool. You know, we have men and women. When you think about, you know, their sacrifice and the fact that these guys go and these guys and gals go, you know, all over the world. They leave their families home, Pat.
Right.
They fight on the front lines for the freedoms of this country.
Yeah.
To defend this republic.
Yes.
And you think, you know, this America owes them. You know, we owe them our gratitude.
We owe
them our honor. We owe them the respect. You know, I'm glad that there's all sorts of the GI Bill, all sorts of benefits for them to receive when they come back. A lot of these guys are wounded. And it's pretty amazing. They just wrapped up what was a very long war.
And
we had some casualties.
And
we honor those that have given their life in this war and all the wars that America has fought. We don't forget any soldier.
That's right.
I thought this was really good.
That's very good. That's
regarding
very good.
You know, the president taking time to do this. And so we honor them, we salute them.
Yes, we do.
And we thank you for all their service. Jeffrey Ura.
That's right.
Steve Ura. And I know I don't say it quite the way you're supposed to hear, but we honor
That's
all
right.
soldiers today.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back. we come back, what we're going to do is share with you a little bit of what is happening in regards to filling the virtual stadium.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you. Because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything, and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ, that He is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that He can. And He wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your Heavenly Father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him.
You know, Steve, being the church is not as difficult as others have made it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I used to go to tradition, you just wanting to build relationship and wanting to, but really, how could you?
Mm-hmm.
Within a couple of hours, and sometimes it would be feel like a sterile environment.
Right.
But when I had the chance to gather with VFN, Vine Fellowship Network, it became so natural.
Right.
Because it was an environment where family can just truly come alive.
Yeah.
There's nothing like having family. And there's nothing like having someone that has your back, that follows God, that abides, and truly cares for you. By carrying each other's burdens, we fulfill the law of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, VFNfamily.org.
You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about, you know, when I hear about religion and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you. You can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love and He's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org.
Yeah, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them Himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep, and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today. And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces a someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome, awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown in their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat Hamilton. Well, you know, Pat, let's fill the stadium. Let's fill the virtual stadium. I want to encourage all the VFN Radio listeners. Let me tell you, there's so much that's going on our Facebook page, and you can go there to, you know, facebook.com/VFNTV. And of course, we would love for you to continue to share everything that God is doing throughout Facebook. I tell you, it's very encouraging when you see all of our VFN radio listeners connecting and sharing and commenting. It's wonderful. And when we like our VFN radio page, Pat, our Facebook page,
that's right,
we're literally providing a seat. We're literally bringing a seat where everyone in the world can hear this truth that's being shared. And so I want to encourage you, encourage your friends, encourage your family to like the page. You know, if you want to give into it, certainly you can do that by going to VFNTV.com. And of course, you can go to the Torch, the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. You know, but I was on the Torch this weekend, and like I am every day.
Yes.
And there's so much encouraging truth.
Man, that's awesome.
On the Torch.
It's very good.
Isn't it good?
Yeah, it's powerful.
Did you go there this weekend?
I did. I spent a lot of time in there.
I know you did. I know
a lot
you
of
did.
Time.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the programs and some of the segments on there. If you're looking at what was not too long ago shared was Seduction, Stay Away. It was a great segment because we're sharing truths about King Solomon and a little observation he was making about a young man who lacked some judgment. I tell you, if you lack some judgment, you're going to make some foolish decisions. You need to get wisdom. You need to get wisdom. That's a great segment that's on there. I love Don't Die or Stop in Nazareth. So many times people are judging their ministry and what God's doing in their life by what's happening in Nazareth. You know, I mean, if Jesus didn't do any miracles in Nazareth because they were so familiar, you know, the fatal price of familiarity.
Right.
You're so close, they're so close to him. And what wasn't it the carpenter's son?
Yeah.
I mean, here's Jesus Christ in front of them, God's son, saying God in the flesh, and they couldn't even receive from him. Because their judgments and whatever was going on in their minds at the time, you know, prohibit them from receiving everything that God had for them. And oftentimes, you know, if you're called to minister to a group of people or you're trying to minister to people and they're not just receiving the truth, they're just not getting it. Sometimes people fall into a trap where they're just kind of, you know, down. They don't say what's happening. You know, they're not getting it. That's your Nazareth. You know, you don't change your message so that your audience will start agreeing. You keep the message pure. You keep what God has told you to share. You keep that right. You keep that pure. But you change your audience. If they're not listening, you change your audience. Don't change your message. Change your audience because there's power in the gospel for those who will accept it, receive it, believe it, and live it out.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So don't die. Don't stop in Nazareth. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. Also, check with Jesus before you vote. Oh, my goodness. We're getting ready to vote, panel. 60 days. We do this every 4 years. We elect the president.
That's right.
What an awesome country, man. What an awesome country. And the fact that we can have such a transition of power without any bloodshed.
Right.
I mean, once America votes, I mean, Americans just accept that the votes have been cast. But when you're getting ready to vote, and I'm talking to the church here, you need to check with Jesus. You know, we often say that Jesus is not left wing or right wing, but he's full of the whole bird.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He doesn't ride the backs of donkeys or ride the backs of elephants. You know what I mean?
Right.
Jesus has come, you know, he's Jesus. And as Christians, we don't have a default party on any side. But what we want to do is we want to spend 90 days, well now 60 days, you know, abiding with the Lord. We want to spend time in his word. We want to spend time, you know, hearing what he has to say.
That's right.
And we want to check with him. We want, you know, we don't want to necessarily vote, you know, our pocketbook or anything else that it's outside of what God would want us to vote. You know, when you stand in that booth, it's you and God.
That's right.
It's you and him. And before him, you don't want to project. You don't want to use what someone else told you. You want to know what God's word says for yourself. And ask yourself, what would Jesus do?
That's right.
What would Jesus do? And so we're going to need a lot of prayer, you know, this election. We've got some choices, you know.
We do have that.
And we've got some choices, and we're definitely going to need a lot of prayer. But you definitely want to spend this time more than ever. Not only that, but 33 million Americans, Matt, they actually think they're registered, but they're not.
That just blows my mind.
Yeah. I mean, just think, and you know what? They may have forgotten or for whatever the reason, but if you think that you're, you know, you could think right now that you're registered and your vote will not be counted. Because if you show up, if your name's not on the list, when they ask you for your driver's license and they scroll down, you know, and your name's on the list, you're not going to vote.
That's right.
And, you know, there's no woulda, shoulda, coulda at that point.
That's it.
Your time to check is now. Your time to look and to, you know, make sure. And you can do that by going to wallbuilders.org. Go to wallbuilders.org. Mm-hmm. And you can, on that site, you'll be able to find out. It's actually very simple. You can actually put your zip code and mm-hmm. put your information in. And 123, you'll find out if you're registered or not. And vote, you know, just hear God, get educated regarding the issues, mm-hmm. spend time abiding. And do what God tells you to do.
That's
I also
right.
want to share about 90 Minutes in Heaven. These are all amazing segments that are on the VFN Torch. Remember, you can go to VFNTorch.com. You can click on these segments. You can read about them. You can listen to that segment. You mm-hmm. can post them on Facebook. You can share them with your friends, your family. But these are truths that are here to you know, educate you, to inspire you, to activate you. Mm-hmm. And we try to illuminate God's word on the issues, you know, God's news behind the news from God's perspective. And we need to have God's perspective for what's happening right now. I mean, there's so many things that are happening, so many things that are facing us today that we just don't need information. You know, we need revelation.
Revelation. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? We need to abide. I have to say, you know, when you're meditating on God's word, it's not bad to memorize God's word. But mm-hmm. you know, you're not memorizing God's word just so that you can, you know, show off to your neighbor how many scriptures you memorized and how much knowledge you have.
Right.
Memorization is so that we can begin to have meditation.
That's right.
And it's nothing like meditating and thinking about God's word. It's one of the most beautiful things I like to do before I go to bed at night. You know, many things going on mm-hmm. is to meditate on the scripture that maybe I've been memorizing or scripture mm-hmm. that God spoke to me that morning. And you're meditating and you're kind of chewing on it. You're just focusing on each word and spending time kind of marinating in that, if you will. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, memorization leads to meditation. If you meditate on God's word, he'll give you revelation. Mm. And he'll begin to reveal things in his word that he will want you to do or what he would not want you to do or things that you need to learn or direction or insight into the ways of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important.
That's right.
You know, because when you're abiding and spending time with the Lord, you're spending time with Jesus. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you, begins to reveal to you what God's saying. It's not just words. I remember when I didn't know God, Pat, and I tried to mm-hmm. read the Bible. Man, it was like reading a dictionary.
It was Greek. Yeah.
It was like, what is this? You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? I want to read this, but I just cannot get this. Like, okay, I read three words. I'm done. Just like, how am I, you know, how am I going to know? But when I gave my life to God, mm. when I just accepted him as my Lord and Savior, and I was on a journey, Pat, I was on a serious journey going nowhere without God, although mm-hmm. I thought was going somewhere.
Right.
And it's just, I look back at those days and think, wow, man, thank you, Jesus, you
That's
know,
right.
because I was putting my hope in so many things that many people I see today are putting their hope in. I was putting my hope in an mm-hmm. education. I was putting my hope in the fact that, you know, I could work hard, that, you know, I was giving myself way too much credit for what I could do, you mm-hmm. know, and realizing that no matter how much I worked on that treadmill, no matter how much I try to keep them plates spinning, they would all come crashing down.
That's it.
And you can't maintain that, mm-mm. you know. But then when I came to God, I remember just reading his word. I could just read it nonstop, almost, you know, it just came alive.
Just came alive, didn't it?
And that's the joy that we have. That's the inheritance every believer has, is to hear God's voice. The Bible is his love letter to you. And hopefully in this program or later in the week, we're going to talk about the word, the Bible, the flawless word of God. Mm-hmm. You know, oh my goodness. It's not outdated. It's the living book, man.
That's right.
It's encouraging. There's life in it. But when you're memorizing, memorization, you want to meditate, right? Meditation so that you can have revelation. When I gave God my heart, I began to start reading and spending time with him. I was starting to get revelation,
mm-hmm.
you know,
that's right.
revelation. And as I was getting revelation, insight into what God was saying, revelation is for the manifestation of what God revealed to you.
That's right.
You know, this is a journey. This is a process, you know. Give yourself a break. Just spend time with God. And God will begin to reveal himself, his ways. Mm-hmm. And it's a journey. And before you know it, what God's been revealed to you will begin to manifest in your life. That's how you know you got it.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Cause you can know things in your head. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows, you know, if you know how to read, you know how to read.
But eventually there's got to be fruit.
Hello. Hello. It's kind of important, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what he's looking for, right?
Yeah. So, you know, it's because there's a lot of people that have information.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that, you know, and that's great. You know, that's good. You know, a lot of people have, you know, knowledge, but knowledge puffs up,
mm-hmm.
you know. But what we want to live, you know, he says, you know, we're not going to live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
That's right.
You know, we got to be a hearing church, but we got to do something with what we hear.
Yeah.
We can't be a hear. I encourage you. You need to go to VFNTV.com and go to VFN Torch. And you got to hear. You want to be a hear. You want to be a hear do.
That's right.
You want to hear what God is saying. You want to hear the word of God, and you want to do what he tells you to do. You
That's
want
right.
that to be revealed in your life. And so these are some great segments, but 90 Minutes in Heaven
mm-hmm.
is basically Don Piper's experience, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Don Piper's experience, he gets in a car accident, and mm-hmm. he spends 90 minutes in heaven.
Yeah, awesome.
And yeah, amazing.
I'm not jealous.
Aren't you like envious? Like, so Don, what was it like?
Yeah, right.
And he describes the walls of heaven, you know. Mm. He describes the bright light, not overpowering light, but like, I think he said something like operator room light. It was just so bright, but not harmful to your eyes.
Right.
And I think one of the most striking things that you know, came out of that, one of the striking things that he says is that the sound of heaven. You never heard that more than once. That there's the sound of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was so beautiful. There were so many people, I believe, singing in different songs,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't chaotic. It was just one beautiful sound. And of all the things that he missed,
mm-hmm.
and I'm saying all the things that he missed,
right.
he missed the sound.
Isn't that something?
Isn't it amazing?
That's amazing. That's what's powerful.
Yeah. I mean, you could only imagine just the level of glory that you feel and his presence when you're in worship, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can imagine what that glory would be like in heaven. I'm saying heaven is a beautiful place. You're not going to be sitting in a cloud strumming, you know, a little harp or something.
Yeah, right.
You're going to do stuff. You're going to be with Jesus. It's going to be great. And you know what? He was greeted, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
He was being greeted by people who had influence, some sort of influence in his life towards Christ on his journey.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all greeting him.
That's
Can something. You imagine what that's going to be like, that you're going to be in the line to greet those that you've been able to minister to? I'm telling
mm-hmm.
you, better you need if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to get out there and share the gospel. You need to get out there and help people come to Jesus. Let me tell you something. We've got the greatest story in the world. It's the true story. It's
mm-hmm.
it's the real deal
yeah.
because it's Jesus Christ. He came. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. He came to save us from our sins
mm-hmm.
and from being lost in eternity, perishing in hell.
That's right.
And the truth of today is that not everyone's in a better place, Pat.
No,
that's
right.
That is the truth. And I know people try to soften it, and that's not a popular saying, but let me tell you something. Not everyone is in a better place. You know, you can make that decision today. If someone's turned you on to VFN Radio and they say, hey, Lena, listen to this, and you just turned in now, you know what? This is for you. You know, you need make that decision. Make the decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life.
Amen. Amen.
Make that decision to make him Lord, to make him the boss, not just Savior, right? Not
mm-hmm.
just get out of hell, you know, like a get out of hell free card.
Correct.
But mm-hmm. make him the Lord, the mm-hmm. boss of your life. Because in doing so, you'll have a beautiful relationship in this life with him,
mm-hmm.
but also in the life to come.
That's right.
And the great thing about going to heaven, if you're a believer, is that you're going to see other families and friends that are believers. If you want the hope of seeing them again, if you want the hope of being with them, you need to give your life to the Lord, then you have a chance to see them. So, oh my goodness. Listen, Jesus in heaven, we can talk all day about that.
All day long.
But I tell you, VFN Torch. You can just mm-hmm. simply go to the VFNTV.com. Go to VFN Torch. If you haven't had a chance yet and you haven't, download the app.
Yeah.
Download the VFN Radio app. You can go to your Apple Store or you can go to Google Play and search VFN TV and hit download. It's being updated daily. Mm-hmm. There's so much as on there. You have the first hour. You have the extra hour. You have original intent. Mm-hmm. You have everything is there in a way that you can actually access it in a very simple, just I love it, fresh mm-hmm. way. And yeah. and on my phone, I like that you can, you know, you can pause it and you can just do all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, man.
It's very cool. Very cool.
I like to say it's VFN radio on the go.
Yeah.
On the go. Well, you know, in God's news, behind the news, we want to share today, and we're going to share more about this in the extra hour today, Pat. But we're mm-hmm. going to share about Juma at the DNC. You know, we yeah. shared about this last week, and we shared about how the president, Barack Obama, mm-hmm. and the DNC, which, you know, their national convention starts actually tonight. The Democratic National Convention starts tonight.
That's right.
This is where they share their platform. And, you know, last week, the RNC, the Republican National Convention, mm-hmm. was... And they had theirs going on, but at the DNC, they've given Islam mm-hmm. a place. They've right. given them a platform. Mm-hmm. This is on a national stage, and so you got to be really concerned about this. This event happened, and you got to hear about what a moderate Muslim said yeah. about the people that were actually in charge. That we're actually putting together this Juma. Juma is a prayer. That's what, mm-hmm. you know, it's a Friday night prayer. And of mm-hmm. all things, it's like, you know, really? Really? I mean, this is not a good argument for, like, you know, their argument, which is not true.
Right.
They're, you know, they're twisting of separation of church and state. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? There's not a good argument for that when you make it on your platform.
Right, right.
But, you know, of all things, but he says that the leaders of this event, and this is Jasser, Dr. Jasser, mm-hmm. he says that the leaders of this event, which is Jabril Hoff and Iman Siraj Wahaj, mm-hmm. they're not moderates. They're radicals. Mm-hmm. And that these guys, these individuals embrace an Islamist supremacy and have demonstrated support for radical ideologies. They're like, okay, you know, a simple search, you know, on the internet, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. A simple search on the internet could have showed you this. Could have easily told you what the deal was. Right. You know that they're leaders of a separatist American Islamist movement. Uh-huh. And let me tell you something. We've talked so much about Islam and Muslim Muslims, radical Muslims, mm-hmm. and the Caliphate and Sharia, and we're going to delve more into that today, and in a few days we're going to be going into, because you know what, we need to hear things sometimes over again. You know, mm-hmm. you know, Pat, I'm not the sharpest knife, you know, in the stack there. You know what I mean? I'm honest. I'll come out there right in the front and tell you. Okay,
right.
And I'm one that needs to kind of hear things. Yeah. You know? Not just once, not maybe just twice. I'm telling a guy maybe three or four times. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe. So that it can kind of sink in, so that I can kind of basically understand what it is that's being discussed. So mm-hmm. it's always good to share these things again and look back, and so we can get a good understanding. Because right. you don't want to settle for a clip of understanding. Mm-hmm. I think I heard, or you want to know. I mean, in the day that we're living in, you need to know what you need to know.
Exactly.
And so Hoff and Wahaj, these guys have radical networks, according to Jasser, and that are entrenched in the Charlotte area. Mm-hmm. And so here's the DNC empowering these guys, and the president giving them stage at their convention. And it's like, this is not good. Mm-mm. This is not a good thing. And the Muslim Brotherhood is really trying to, you know, weave themselves into every fabric of our government, whether it be education, whether it be politics, mm-hmm. whether it be in any forms of government. Mm-hmm. They're trying to weave themselves in. Mm-hmm. And we need to be aware of this. You know, Siraj Wahaj, it was reported that he actually has basically some serious ties to some dangerous radicals, according to Jasser. In 1990, it's reported that he sponsored talks with the blind sheik, Omar Rahman. This is the guy in New York and in New York and New Jersey mosques. Mm-hmm. And he told his followers that the United States will fall unless it accepts the Islamic agenda.
Wow.
Listen to this.
Wow.
the United States will fall unless it accepts the Islamic agenda. Bridget Gabriel, she's a best-selling author. She stated about Wahaj that if only Muslims were – that he said if only Muslims were clever politically, they could take over the United States and replace its constitutional government with a caliphate.
Wow.
Dude, with a caliphate.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, this is what's happening, and you got to think about, you know, why come to America? You know, it's like, you know, if that's what you believe, you know, who am I to say what you want to believe? You know, if that's what you want to believe, and that's, but why try to come to America and try to establish, you know, a caliphate, Sharia law? We're going to talk more about this in the extra hour. We're going to dive into it because we use terms like caliphate and Sharia, and we want to just look a little bit more into what that actually means.
Mm-hmm.
But why come here? You know,
right.
Find the country, find the line, you know, find the land, find the plot. But why come to the America where we have a constitution? You know, the oldest written constitution, Pat. The oldest.
That's right.
And we have a form of government.
That's right.
That protect the rights of our citizens. And when you come in and try to bring something like that, you're saying that we need to just abolish that. That's not good. He said that he continued to take 6 to 8 million. If 6 to 8 million Muslims unite in America, the country will come to us.
Mm-hmm.
The country will come to us.
Right.
And they also quoted him saying that it is our duty. It is our duty. And our duty as Muslims to replace the U.S. Constitution with the Quran. We need to speak up. And this is the Muslim Brotherhood.
Wow.
Now, this is the same Muslim Brotherhood that the president empowered in Egypt. It's like when you go to another land and try to stir up stuff over there, he goes to Cairo, has a speech, and it's his first speech. You know, sometimes, right. I mean, I'm amazed at how sometimes naive we can all be sometimes. We can't be naive.
Right.
We can't be naive. To think, you know, of that things just happen. Let me tell you, things just don't happen.
No.
You know, and especially in the government, I mean, things are well planned. You know, there had to be, you know, the president can't go get an ice cream without having a detailed plan to get a cup of ice cream.
Yeah.
Don't tell me he just swung his plane over to, you know, Egypt. He's like, I'm going to stroll in here and just have a, this was
calculated.
A very, you think?
Yeah.
Calculated plan. This is a strategic thing to have a speech in a country where the president of the country doesn't even show up because you've empowered the Muslim Brotherhood in that nation,
which was banned in the nation at the time, right?
Hello.
Yep.
Talk about this. I mean, it's like,
totally.
Oh my goodness, that was
yep.
like, what's that? And then you stand on the stage and says that it is your. And I don't have a direct quote here, but we sure have it. You can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFN Torch. You know, and type in Muslim Brotherhood, and you will see it.
Mm-hmm.
But you will see that he says that it is his responsibility to defend negative stereotypes of Muslims of Islam of Muslims. Wait! This is not
that's not as your job. Hello.
I mean, really, we're just talking about just straight up job qualifications, just straight up job responsibilities. Now, if you're an individual and you want to say that and say as a person, this is how I feel and this is what I want to discuss, that's fine. But as a president of the United States, your job is to defend the Constitution. Listen, we're coming close to the end of our first hour. My goodness, time is flying by. We're going to cover this and so much more in the extra hour. For those that were joining us in the first hour, God bless you. Have a great day. And we'll be back.
Wow, we've come to the end of the first hour already, my goodness. Thank you so much for joining us on VFN Radio. We'll be back in just a few moments for this extra hour. God bless all of you guys who could not stay with us. We will see you on the other side. And we'll be right back.